Welcome again to The Compass, a podcast from the people of Calvary Baptist Church of Fayetteville, Arkansas. I'm your host, Dan Carson, family pastor here at Calvary, and we're thrilled that you've chosen to listen today. Now, in this episode, I have the opportunity to share with the people of Calvary as we continue through the book of Genesis. Together, we'll be looking at Genesis 14 and lessons from a rescue mission. Let's listen in together.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for all that you do in our lives. I thank you for your word and for what we find here. And I just ask that you help us as we spend a few minutes in it together. We want to understand better what you want us to do. We want to understand better of who we need to be and how we need to trust you. And Father, I just ask that you bless our church in great ways, and so that we can lift high your name. Father, forgive us where we fail you. In Christ and we pray, amen. Well, again, we are looking at lessons from a rescue mission. And so what do we find here? We find that, Lot was a little too close to the action. He was pulled into this situation, and then he was taken captive. And so what we have are the things that transpired here. The first few verses that I didn't read this morning set up the political climate of what's going on in that world, in that situation. It is setting up that this is what it looks like. And so if someone was to set up what our world is like, they'd turn on the news. Well, a lot of these things that you find in those first nine verses would be like a news broadcast saying, this is what's happening, these are what's going on, this is where it's at. And so it's things that to us don't mean a whole lot, but it does describe what's happening, where it's at. Now, as I looked at this, the title for our Genesis chapter 13 message, you know, it came to mind that it should have been something like Abram had a lot to lose. Chapter 14 could then be Abram had a lot to gain. Perhaps chapter 15, Abram had a lot to learn. He is that center of this story as he is the person that he is to be rescued. You know, I think about Star Wars. I think about that story and how it all hinges around rescuing this princess and the plans for this Death Star and all of those things that are transpiring and going on. And if you take out certain components, the story is totally different. And as we look at this story, as we look at Abram and his role in it, we can't escape that. It's a powerful message that his actions tell us and they show us. And so we're going to look at that as we go in this a little bit further. Well, I want us to look at three lessons that we learn from this rescue mission. The first is this: when you align with the wrong people, you may find yourself in need of rescue. Think about where Lot was. Lot had made his choice. We talked about that last week. We understood that he had chosen, well, this area that would be, in his eyes, would be better. It'd be wonderful. Abram gave him that choice, that opportunity, and Lot had chosen this, and then he had moved. He was close to Sodom and Gomorrah. Did you notice, though, as we read verse 12, that Lot was to be said to be living in Sodom? When we left him in chapter 13, he was living outside of Sodom. He was living near Sodom. But here in verse 12, we see that he is living in Sodom. He had started to identify himself with this group of people. He was there. He was among them. He was living with them. Now, Lot had made an error. And even though he was supposed to be different, he had slowly aligned himself with the sinners that were in his world. No longer was he on the outside. He found himself further and further on the inside of that situation. Now, while I imagine that it didn't happen overnight, it happens in increments as it happens with us. We slowly make a choice. I am going to be here instead of where I know I should be. I'm going to make a choice to, and we've talked about this before, I'm going to be at the ball field instead of being at Sunday morning worship. Or perhaps it is I'm going to be somewhere else instead of being with my life group. We make these choices here and there, and they build, and then all of a sudden, we've drifted apart. Ronnie Floyd wrote a book several years back called Drift, and it was just described this idea that it doesn't happen all of a sudden, but what happens is you slowly have drifted away from the dock. The dock's here. You're tied up. You're secure in your relationship with God. You're spending time with God. You're there. And then all of a sudden, before you realize it, you have drifted away. The rope has become untethered, and you're further and further away. And as we look at what happens here with Lot, we know that he was outside of the walls of Sodom. And slowly, I'm sure, as he spent more time with people inside of those walls, as he spent more time with the people there, he was like, well, it'd just be easier, and well, I'll just be here rather than there. And before long, they realized that there was no difference between Lot and the people of Sodom. The same could be held true in our lives, that if we allow ourselves to be pulled into those other directions, then eventually there is no difference between us and the others in this world. And the truth is, there should be. We have the living God who is inside of us after we've accepted Christ as our Savior. We should be different. Our lives should be different. Our actions should be different. We should be separate. We often use this phrase of being in this world but not of this world. John 15:19 says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I have chose you out of the world. Because of this, the world hates you. John 17:14-16 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one, that they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. God calls us to be different. The problem that we have here is the problem that that Lot found himself with, was that when you align with the wrong people, you may find yourself in need of rescue. We all know people who have tried to walk this line. Some have done it very successfully that I've known. I think about a gentleman by the name of Troy Burleson. I refer to him as Master Burleson because he is our Taekwondo instructor. He is an 8th degree, fantastic, godly man. He has made a point that he will never schedule an event for our group of Taekwondo schools on a Sunday. It is against his faith. He will keep that Sunday morning holy. He has driven back from Little Rock up to Harrison area late, so that he can make sure that he was there for Sunday morning worship. He doesn't make his worship service an idol. What he's doing is saying, this is an important thing for me to be at. This is how I'm different. And God calls us to be different than the people that we walk with, that we work with. We shouldn't speak the same way. We shouldn't talk the same way. We shouldn't act the same way. We want to love. We want to be there, love on those folks. But God has made us different and calls us to be different. And what we had here was Lot was in this community. He found himself aligned with a sinful people. And because of that, he was caught up. As we look back at our text, in verse 12, they also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and they went their way. Because he had aligned himself with this ungodly people, he was pulled into a situation where he needed rescue. Now, if we go on in verses 13 through 16, we want to see our second point this morning. So when you veer from God's plan, you may find yourself in need of rescue. Let's look back at our text. There it says, then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, who was living by the oaks of Mamre the Amorite, brother Eshcol and Anar. And they were the allies of Abram. And when Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men born in his house, 318 of them, and went and pursued them as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions, and all brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions and the women and the people. You know, as we look at this, we understand that Lot was in a bad situation. He had veered from God's plan to honor him with his entire life and to honor him with his family. He found himself in need of rescue, and God provided that rescue. As we look at Abram here, we find such a beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. What we realize is that we are born into this world sinners in need of a Savior. We need Jesus Christ. As soon as we realize that great need, God wants us to act on that. As He's calling us to Himself, we need to respond and say, okay, God, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to accept You as my Savior. But more than that, I'm going to accept You as my Savior and my Lord. I am going to follow You each and every step of the way. I am going to look for Your plan and understand that. When we're outside of that plan, meaning we haven't accepted Christ, we haven't followed Him, then we are in need of rescue. And that's where Lot found himself, in need of rescue. Now for us, He didn't send Abram. He sent Jesus into the world to live, to die, to be crucified, to rise again, all for us, for you and for me. And that's the reason that we can come together and worship on a Sunday. We sing and worship on a resurrection day, that first day of the week, the Lord's Day, and because we celebrate this great gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ. You know, I think about what's happened here with Lot. He found himself in a bad situation, not knowing what to do. He wasn't even able to do anything about himself. It wasn't like he could send a text message. He wasn't able to send up even smoke signals or anything like that. God in His providence sent one of the other men who had escaped and got the message to Abram and said, hey, this is what's happened. God went out of His way to make this happen. Brought this man to Abram, and Abram, it sounds like he would make a great movie, talking about movies as we did just a few minutes ago, that he had 318 trained men that lived in his own household. He used his resources, Abram used his resources to go after his nephew. It says that he divided his forces against them. By night, he and his servants, he defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. And then he brought back all the possessions. He brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions and the women and the people. He set up a plan. He implemented that plan, and God blessed it in great and big ways. And that's what God did when He sent Jesus Christ into the world to live and to die for us. He did that for us. He used the resources that he had on hand, just like Abram used the resources that he had. Did he have properties? No, but he had people. He had people that were he cared about, that he loved, he put in danger so that his nephew and his family could be saved. So it's important for us to understand that when we veer from God's plan, we may find ourselves in need of rescue. That when we choose to align ourselves with the wrong people, we may find ourselves in need of rescue. And then finally, as we look at this last point, what I want us to understand is that when you fail to give God the glory in victory and defeat, you may find yourself in need of rescue. Now, in this situation, we find the victory. It's important for us to understand what happened. And without going into who Melchizedek is, just this brief understanding. Starting in verse 17, it says, after Abram returned from defeating to Dulamir and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the Chevev Valley, that is, the king's valley. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest to God Most High. He blessed him and said, Abram is blessed by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has handed over your enemies to you. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Now, why do I bring that up? Why is that important for us to look at? Well, we talk a lot about giving of our tithe. We give our tithes and offerings as 10%. We find that this is repeated in Scripture, a better understanding. But what it does to me is I read the story and understand what happened here is that God gave Abram the victory. As God gives us the victory each and every week as we struggle through life, as we go through hardships and difficulties, and sometimes we fail, and sometimes we fall on our face, but guess what? God still wants us to give Him the glory for helping us through. He deserves our praise. He deserves our adoration. And in this situation, Abram did just that. And what a perfect picture for us. So that as we face victory, as we celebrate victory, we go, God did that. As we look to our future as a church at Calvary Baptist Church, I want us to experience victory. Not so that I can say, man, look at the job that I did as a family pastor. Look at the job that Pastor Kirk did as our lead pastor, or that any of us did, but look at what God has done. So when we use our words to give Him the praise, when we give of our resources, give of our money, of our time, all of those things, we need to give God the victory. And we've got to go into those battles with that mindset. So that if we win, we give God the glory. If we lose, we give God the glory. He deserves praise all the time. I love that when we went through Faithful Men just recently, as we read through the Sing book and then reminded of these things at the Sing conference, there's this simple truth. Saved people are singing people. And why do we sing? We sing to praise God, to celebrate Him, to lift up His name, and to celebrate what He has done. Just like Abram, he brought with to the priest of the God Most High, and he gave a tenth of everything as a signifying that He is God, He is in control, that He deserves our praise. That's what we need to do, to be motivated to give and to celebrate. Now, you may find yourself in a situation where you haven't given God the praise, you haven't given God the victory, then that's where you need to start, is going, okay, God, I messed up here. I took on all that glory for myself. I said, I am going to do it. This morning in our Sunday school lesson, we talked about the Tower of Babel. We spent time thinking about those concepts, about how they were wanting to build themselves up, to lift high their own people and who they are. But you know what? That's not what God wanted. God wanted them to celebrate Him, then to fulfill His command to be fruitful and to fill the earth. That's what we learned in Sunday school. What do we learn here? Well, we learned that when we're faced with victory, that we are to celebrate what God has done. Ultimately, we're all in need of a rescue. We're born with a sin problem that has to be resolved. And Jesus came in like a hurricane and busted that door open for us. Think about those rescue movies that I mentioned earlier. You think about all of the ups and downs and the wins and the losses that happened during that time. But for us, the victory has already been won. Jesus came into this world. He lived. He died. He beat death so that we could have a relationship with God Most High. That's what He wants for all of us. As we look at this passage of Scripture, maybe you find yourself in one of these places. Maybe you realize that you've aligned yourself with the wrong people. And you're here. You're a part of Calvary Baptist Church, and hopefully we're the right people in this situation. But you know what? What you do outside of these walls, I'm not sure. You may be spending time with those that don't want to honor God at all. And trust me, there is a need for us to reach out in love to those that don't know Jesus Christ. And so that requires a time investment, that requires relational investment. But you know what? Have you aligned yourself with them? Have you let what they do influence what you do? There are a lot of different ways that this can flesh itself out. And, you know, I always thought, once I reach adulthood, I wouldn't have to worry about some of these concerns and these difficulties, but it hasn't changed. Still the same sort of thing. At those Taekwondo training events, the one that I mentioned that the instructor that said, okay, I'm not going to stay here, and this was an event that he had not planned, so there was still something going on that next Sunday morning. And so what he decided was that he left, Master Burleson that I talked about. Some of the other guys had decided to make a run to the liquor store. And they had said, hey, you want something to drink? Do you want to be a part of this? They know who I am. They know what I stand for. But still, they were trying to have me align with them. My life should be different. We should align ourselves in such a way that our life is different than those that we're coming into contact with. so that they know that we love them, that they know that we care about them. The difference is that I've gone down and I hang out with some of the guys down at Cat's Work. They're not believers. They need Jesus. That's the best and easiest way to say that. And I have one guy that will always say, "I'm sorry, Dan, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to talk like that. Oh, I'm sorry." He knows that there's something different about me and how I align my life. And he's very apologetic, doesn't change what he does. He just responds in like. But God wants us to live differently. He doesn't want us to align ourselves. The easy thing would be for me to change my speech. The easy thing for me would be to respond differently and to be more of a chameleon and to find myself like Lot did in a situation where he had aligned himself with the wrong people at the wrong time and in the end was in need of rescue. Now, the other two points that we talked about, veering from God's plan and failing to give God the glory, we can all find ourselves in those situations very easily. God wants us to align with Him. God wants us to look for Him for a plan. How do we know His plan? Well, we know that through reading His Word. Now, it'd be great if we all had our own chapter and God easily laid all of that out so I could say, all right, so at age 40, I'm supposed to do this. As I reach age 50, I'm supposed to do that. But that's not how it is. God has His Word. He has it lined out so that all of us can understand better of what we're supposed to be doing. We need to stay with that plan. Because when we veer from it, we may end up in need of rescue. And then when we fail to give God the glory for how He's worked as we're young, as how He's worked when we're old, how He's worked in our church, when we fail to do that, God is dishonored. And we want to honor Him. So I don't know how God has been working in your life. But as we look through this passage of Scripture, you may realize that you are more in Lot's situation than you are in Abram's. And if you find yourself more lined up with what's going on in Lot's life, then it's time to make some changes. It's time to say, okay, God, I need to move back to where You're at. I need to follow what You have for me. Rather than just say, well, I'm going to blend in. I'll blend in. God will pull me out of this mess. There are times when God gives a second chance. I think about Jonah, of course. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I think about John Mark, who traveled with Paul early on, and then Paul and Barnabas had a fight over him. But then later on in his ministry, he had this opportunity to be used again. And so God provides second chances. But at some point in our life, those chances are over. So God wants us to line our life up with Him today. What do we learn from this rescue mission? Well, we learn that if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in the same place that Lot is, captured by the enemy. And God is not honored in that. He is honored when we can be a part of the rescue mission. To reach out in love to those around us, to care for them, and help them see the great love that God has for them.
We pray that God has used His Word to speak to you, and that you will continue to grow in your faith. If you live in Northwest Arkansas and are looking for a church to call your own, we invite you to join us at Calvary as we study and serve together. We meet for worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings, and 9:30 for our Bible study fellowship time. We meet at 1410 North Porter Road of Fayetteville. Now, if you wish to find out more information about Calvary Church or simply contact us, you can do that through our Facebook page or calvaryfayetteville.com. Until next time, remember that God, His Word, and His people can provide direction for life.